Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We got Puma in the house. We got Ice Water in the house. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. We got Black Thor coming up in a few, and of course, Django, the D Ain't Silent coming up in a few, man. It's been a great week in sports, man.
No doubt, no doubt. Just depending on what you like, what you choose, what you want to see, a little bit of everything. So people need to get ready because football's back in full force, getting ready for a little hoops down the line. So as they say, get ready to choose your poison. It's going to taste good.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Yeah, the football season is getting ready to start up, man, and there's some stories before the season is about to start up. I know that everybody is trying to figure out where Michael Sam is going to play. Are there any teams interested in Michael Sam? And I think I said a couple of weeks ago that Dallas may be interested in him.
Yes, he did. And I was trying to not hear that, but evidently it appears like he must have a connection to Jerry Jones. I don't know. But, you know, I guess they're going to add him to the circus. So, I mean, like you said, we get another act in the circus. And I hope that he comes to play football and not try to be part of the circus.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this two or three weeks ago, and I was saying that the Rams looked like they were going to cut him because they had so many guys at that position that were performing better than him at the time. And that everybody was pretty much good at that position except the Dallas Cowboys. And then I heard that the San Francisco 49ers might be looking because another related story, McDonald is going down with the arrest on domestic violence charges. So that's up in the air right now, and they're going to need some more defensive players. But do you really see him with a future with the Cowboys?
Well, I mean, like you said, it's about need. And at the end of the day, if he can play, if he comes in and makes plays, and you know, he might have a future with them. But right now, they're like, even with San Francisco, if there's a need, and he's the guy that's probably the best suited right now, best available player, one of the best available players, and he comes in and makes plays, like he showed some urgency in the last, I think it was the last game with the Rams in the exhibition game.
Mm-hmm.
If he shows that urgency, then I think he has a shot. I mean, because he's a player. He can play. He's a player. I mean, he received acknowledgement as the SEC Defensive Player of the Year, but a lot I understood, my understanding, that was based on numbers. But he has to come out and prove that, first of all, he wants to be a football player, and he has to let the other Oprah stuff and all of the glitz and Hollywood glamour stuff go, because the teams that are looking at him now, including Dallas, they need him to come in to make plays. And that's going to be the biggest thing for Michael Sam. Not about his lifestyle or, you know, whether or not he cries on TV and he eats cake in front of the TV. He needs to come and play football and make plays. If he makes plays, then I think he might have a spot. He has another opportunity, it seems like, in Dallas. So he should take full advantage of it. He wants to stay in the league.
All right. Black Thor, what do you think about this Michael Sam deal? You know, I said a few weeks ago that I think he's going to end up with the Cowboys, and sure enough, the Cowboys are making that bid. What do you think about this whole situation?
Two words. Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones knows the Cowboys aren't going to be that good this year. Jerry Jones wants the hype. He wants the attention. I'm sorry. I don't care if Sam's gay, whatever the case may be. If you listen to the Rams head coach basically talk about his package, he could only blitz the quarterback on third string against a third string offense. He can't play linebacker. He can't play special teams. His lateral movement is not good. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what he does in the NFL, you can find any Joe Blow out in decent shape at his age do the same exact thing. And, you know, everybody's going to think teams pass on him in waivers because of him being gay. They pass him because he really can't play. I mean, I hate this. I mean, you look at a couple of facts. I'll give him that. They pass him because he cannot play. They don't want the distraction. Jerry Jones wants a circus. He loves all that. So bring him in. Yeah, bring him in. Let the cameras be there. Jerry will talk about him every day. So it's all Jerry Jones. It's all him. If he has any potential, honestly, I believe the Rams are signed as their practice squad. My personal belief is that the Rams draft him because the owner of that team went to the same college Michael Sam went to. It was inside favorite because no one else was going to take him. But the Cowboys, you know, he'll get publicity and it'll work out. But I just don't see when a coach basically stands up publicly and says, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, and they cut you, there's something there.
Okay. I'm going to edit this show later, edit the part where you said the coach looked at Michael Sam's package. But anyway, we'll edit that out.
Wow.
Anyway,
when I think back, I mean, when he breaks through the fourth wall.
I know what you meant. We're going to edit that out.
Okay.
But I thought weeks ago that he wouldn't that the Cowboys, I think, play a 3-4. And I think the Rams play – a 3-4. So the only team that really kind of fit were the Cowboys because, you know, they can use him as a linebacker. But they keep saying that he's also very slow for that position also. So I'm not sure if he's going to make it in the NFL. They said he has 6 sacks in the preseason, I guess. And, you know, that's against maybe second, third string guys. But I don't know. The jury's still out. I thought that this would be a big story because you didn't want to piss off the gay and lesbian community because this is the first openly gay player to try for the NBA of the NFL. But I really I don't know. I just had a bad feeling about this, that there's going to be a lot of hype, and this guy wasn't going to be able to make an NFL roster. But I also thought that he wouldn't make an NFL roster based on him admitting that he was openly gay. That was my reason for it. Not that he couldn't make the team, but I thought he would have more problems in the NFL. What's your thoughts, Ike, on that?
Can I go ahead, Thor? I got something after that. Go ahead, Thor. I'm sorry.
No. My thing is this. When you look at when he came out and basically stated that he was gay, he had to come into the NFL and blow the doors off. He couldn't come to the NFL and be weak and just be meek. He had to blow the doors off. Went to the combine, he was horrible. Everywhere he basically went, he had just to prove himself and set himself apart. So once he made that statement, he needed to come in and show, you know what? I'm going to blow the doors off. He has yet to do that and show that. Therefore, with the distraction that possibly may come with him, a lot of teams are going to shy away from him. Now, if he can come out and blow the doors off, teams will line up. They will care less. They will line up to grab him. At least half of the league would, I'm sure. And that's why I go back to my Jerry Jones point. But for listening, Jerry Jones, he will eat it up. Trust me, Jerry Jones will eat this up like red velvet cake.
Okay, Icewater.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Thor. I think, too, that part of it is if he was J.J. Watt, there would be no second guessing. There would be nothing to this. He'd be starting. He'd be ready to make plays and whatnot. That's why the whole point about his lifestyle is perplexing to me because at the end of the day, teams want to win. They want to win football games. And for instance, if you had a gay quarterback, and you mean to tell me if Aaron Rodgers was gay, they're like, oh, well, we can't let him in because he's gay? Please. If people are trying to win, and you can win the Super Bowl, whatever your lifestyle is, whatever it takes, they're going to let you in. Now, there might be some people that have some part of that might be an end result. It might be another reason to kind of go against him, if you will. But if the guy can play, they'll find room for you. They've done all kinds of different things from people have from domestic, let's be real, domestic abuse to so many other different things. So if you can play, they'll find room for you. But as you mentioned before, I think that the fact that he's not shown talent-wise that he's going to be a force in the NFL, nobody's going to really fight for him, gay or not.
Okay. Speaking on domestic violence in the NFL, last week they came out with a ruling. Commissioner came out and said, hey, first offense, 6-game suspension, next offense, a lifetime ban. And lo and behold, Mr. McDonald in San Francisco had a party, apparently, and got into a situation where the NFL might have to pull the trigger on that particular issue. I wanted to get Black Thor's thought on what do you think about this particular issue? Is this new rule, does it put targets on NFL players' backs? Because I can see, and excuse me for playing devil's advocate here, I can see some vindictive women out there who are like, you know what, if you're not going to be with me or you're going to be with this woman or you don't do what I say, I can ruin your career. So give me your thoughts on that, Black Thor. What's up?
Well, I see that point of it when you say that, yeah, because you got them out there. But I will say this. 2:30 in the morning. It's your girlfriend, and she's pregnant. And you go to jail, and she has bruises. More than likely, something happens. I don't know if she threw herself against the wall, whatever. I think the NFL caught so much flack from the Ray Rice situation for the two games to where I think corporate kind of, you know, rattled their cage a little bit. But Roger Goodell said, you know what, we're going to come out and handle it this way. We're going to take care of it with six games and be a man and be real strong. I admire him for standing up. He might have went a little too far, maybe, maybe not. But I admire him for saying that, you know, he didn't do enough with the Ray Rice. I'm going to do this. But my point is this. If you're making that type of cash, you know, you have to be suspect in all areas of your life. You have to follow and be, you know, be kind of a little cautious in all areas. You kind of have to watch the people you hang around with. You can't put yourself in a situation where someone can allow you to be suspended for six games on some nonsense. And these young players have to start to realize this is not the old NFL. This is not the old sports. It's super huge business, and they will do anything to keep that cash coming in. Because trust me, Ray McDonald, he's good, don't get me wrong, but there's somebody in the wings ready to come in and do half what you do for half of what you're doing. So, I mean, and that's what it comes down to. So you have to basically wake up every day with a conscience and think, how am I going to protect myself against this nonsense? And, I mean, that's what they're forcing them to do. They shouldn't have to, but that's my perspective. They're forcing them to go, you know what, we're not going to look bad because you want to act like a buffoon. We're not going to damage our shield. We got this thing rolling. If you want to, you know, throw some cakes into our shield, we're going to get rid of you. It's just that simple. Because they already know that the mainframe players, they already know they're not going to be getting kicked out for domestic abuse. Come on. Your high-profile quarterback is not happening. Eli Manning is not going to smack his wife.
Wow. Ice water.
Yes, sir. I'll just say this. I agree. I will also say, too, that the biggest thing, though, as he mentioned, Thor mentioned, is the factor that the shield is the most important thing, and nobody's bigger than the game. Ask Pete Rose why he's still trying to figure out why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Ask Michael Jordan. I mean, different people like that. Nobody's bigger than the game, and they will shut you down if you don't follow the rules. Now, they might make some concessions, as we mentioned earlier, but at the same time, they can only take so much of the drama that's going on. The thing with McDonald, too, is it'll be interesting to see now the Ursay issue, and I know we'll talk about that a little later, but the whole Ursay issue came down the way that it did. But I will say this. I think overall that we're finding out that the commissioner is being tested, and Thor's right. Players have to take responsibility for themselves and the people around them, because even as your cousin, your mom's sister, you have to start thinking nobody's supposed to mess up your money.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they love you and they bake you cakes and they watched over you when you was a youngster, but at the same time, it's kind of like I've mentioned to you before in an off-air conversation that LeBron said what he said to his mom, sit your A down. Because you messing up this $90 million. You still want to get your hair done. You want to get them rides via the limousine. And is it right? No, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not condoning it. But at the same time, this money is about us. So let me handle this business, and you calm down and let me work this out and enjoy the fruits of this labor.
All right. Because that was when I looked at this situation, I'm like, man, the whole story is not out. But I could see a lot of players. If I was an NFL player right now, I'd probably be paying guys to keep women away from me not to get in situations like this because it's easy to get in situations. You're out drinking, you're having a good time. Maybe you had an ex who's trying to get back, and she's saying, oh, he did this to me, he did that. So I commend the commissioner for doing this, but it has to be really kind of scrutinized case by case so some of these guys don't get towed down the river over something that was really kind of set up for him. I thought the Rams, after this happening, the Rams would go after Sam, but it seems like the Cowboys have their hooks in them, and we'll see. Moving right along with the Ursay case, I just got word that Ursay was suspended 6 games and $500,000. Is that too severe or too lenient for him? Let's go to Black Thor. Is that too severe or lenient? Black Thor, you still there? Oh, we're going to Ice Water so Black Thor gets himself together.
I'm sorry, bro.
Oh, okay. You still there?
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. To me, this case got watered down so drastically because the way they bust him down for misdemeanor, I'll say that first. That he has so much on him that night they pulled him over. It's ridiculous. It should not be a misdemeanor. It should no way, but who he is in that community, I understand it, and I say that. But that being said, no, it's not enough. I mean, it's okay. It could have been more. Because based on what the initial report was, what he was carrying in that car, and it's funny how you don't hear about that no more. That you don't hear. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't hear. That's kind of like got whitewashed. So, no, them doing him 6 weeks and a half, he's actually getting off easy. Easy. Trust me, easy. Because that was a serious black eye. They found a way to kind of dust that up a little bit, truly. So that 6 weeks, which I think is ironic, when they banned, you think about a year ago, for the when they banned the New Orleans coach for a year.
Yeah.
I think homeboy should got a year. I mean, if you look at the two situations, which one is more severe?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I guess the thing, too, though, is I think that the commissioner is kind of trying to reel this whole thing in so he can kind of see how it's going to work out. Even when he came up with the other rendition of changing players in domestic violence, you know, he gave the first part of it, and then now the second part is a whole year. And now it's like, well, I got to at least give Ursay something close because I can't give him 2 games. Because everybody's going to, I'm going to catch heck with because of what happened before with the Ray Rice situation. So him getting only 6 games, I think it's a slap on the wrist. As Thor mentioned, too, the factor that, you know, money talks. Let's be real about this. In this country, somebody does something and carrying the weight that he did and the amount of money that he had on this person, then the average man is in jail forever almost. I mean, you just might as well rack your ticket off. But a person with money can call the best lawyers, say, hey, well, you know, and then the first thing they'll tell you, too, and I'll make this real quick, but I think even in watching either a movie or another documentary, they were talking to the guy about what you should say when you don't want to go to jail for a long time. You could say that it was more of an illness or a sickness. And the fact that he could say that he had issues with the drugs and prescription or whatever was on, when you say that, then they usually don't send you to jail. You usually get a slap on the wrist compared to if you just said you did something without any type of medication to help you along. And the guy says, if you say that, actually it was, somebody like Richard Pryor mentioned that before. He said that one of his jokes, and they told you, did you have issues? Were you doing it because you were high? He said, yeah. He said, well, say that when you get to the judge, and they won't send you to jail. And I think that kind of shows the way right here, even though Richard Pryor is who he was, but it's kind of showing his way, playing his way out here in this scenario.
Well, I also agree with what Black Thor said. I think this got hidden behind all the other issues that are involved in football right now. The season's about to start, and it got hidden behind this issue with Rice and Sam and McDonald's and all this other stuff that's happening with folks being cut, folks trying to make teams, all this stuff. It seems like they just kind of slipped this story in, and nobody really is talking about it. And I thought the punishment should have been more severe. And you're right, Black Thor. You got caught with a lot of stuff that brothers are still doing time over.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
This guy's walking scot-free. He's walking scot-free.
Yeah.
And $500,000 is not much to him if you're an owner of an NFL team.
No. Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I mean, I think you're right on that. I think that part of that is, though, where, as you mentioned, that they waited. The longer they waited, the more time passed, the more that people would forget. Because now we're almost talking about basketball season. So it's like, well, that Ursay thing, don't worry about it. There's no big deal. Let's keep on moving along. Everything. We're back in season now. Let's move along. It's not that big. What did he do? He just had a little prescription drugs and having to have $30,000 cash on him. He's a millionaire. That's nothing. I'm just saying. That's how it's being dropped. That's nothing.
Oh, man.
That $30,000 is like $5 to you and I. Who are you talking about? That's who he is. He's a, what it is. That's how people rationalize things a lot of times.
Wow.
Anyway.
Okay. Moving right along, let's get to some other stuff. Now, I never fought a man for getting his money. J.J. Watt agrees to a $100 million deal, 6 years. Is he worth the money, and is he the best defensive player in the NFL to earn this amount of money for this Texan franchise? Let's go to Ice Water first.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure if he's the best defensive player. He has been very consistent last couple of years and really helped Houston along. Get some things that way. But I will say this, in regards to is he worth the money, you know, I always think about it from this aspect. I'm not sure. I mean, that depends on the team and who they pay and who they think is relevant. I will say this, though, that if he is able to receive $100 million, then the owners can afford to give it to him. And I'm never mad at anybody, even if they may not be the most talented individual. If somebody's going to pay you a certain amount of money, then who are we, I would think, and myself particularly, who am I to judge somebody because they're getting what's fair market value? Now, just because a team makes a bad decision or makes, like, signing an NBA basketball player like a Benoit Benjamin for $72 million for 10 years back in the day, that's on them.
That.
I'm just saying, that's on them. But you can't be mad at the man for getting his money because it's out there. And if he doesn't get it, then somebody else will. Or you can just say, oh, they're going to give me $100 million, but I'll just take 10. Really? Come on, man.
It's true. Black Thor.
I say this times when I think people are basically overpaid. I'm going to say this Rouse right here brings it, man. He's been bringing it since he's been in the NFL. And I think I look at some of the. If you look at, remember Haynesworth, I think his name was, that signed $100 million with was it the Redskins, and what he lasted about a year, and it was a year and a half. But based on his age, what he has done so far, him being, you know, I think he's, I'm going to say he's in his early 20s. So if you look at that, you figure he got another good 6 to 8 years probably to play at a high level. Yeah, I can understand. You want to lock him down. You kind of really want to lock him down because, he brings it. I mean, he finds a way week in, week out to bring it in his position. And he may not be the top, but he's pretty much close. Pretty, very close. And, I think that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. But, if you're going to spend it, you're going to afford to spend it, he's one that I will definitely put a check mark and say, pay the man.
So what about Clowney, who's a Texan now? I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you figure Clowney has to sign a rookie contract, so his biggest payday is probably 2 to 3 years in front of him. So you figure by then, if necessary, they'll do one or two things. Because one thing is, he's getting guaranteed, I think he's getting guaranteed 50 or 55 million. You figure by then, they'll find a way to either come back, redo some of that contract, or do something with J.J. Watt. But if Clowney performs up to expectations, which he probably will, he is going to get paid. If Houston don't pay him, somebody's going to pay him. I mean, somebody's going to break open the bank and pay him because there's not a lot of dominating defensive linemen. I mean, you have some good ones, but dominating that basically take over a game. Yeah, I mean, like the old Lawrence, I mean, and it was outside linebacker, defensive lineman, but a defensive lineman that can basically put their footprint on a game, there's not many. So they're going to get paid. They deserve to. They're going to get paid. Yeah, they're going to get paid.
Okay. The jury's still out on that, and I know that, you know, people are going to be watching it. I want to see what Clowney does. I think if he was anything like he was in college, I've seen this guy in high school, clips of him in high school, clips of him in college. I'll never forget that hit where he hit this guy in the backfield, knocked the ball out, and picked the ball up like a loaf of bread on a fumble. I'll never forget that hit. I think it was like one of the top 10 hits of all time. But I never did. If he could do that in the pros, man, he might dwarf this J.J. Watt deal of $100 million because, man, this guy, I'm excited to see what he does on the pro level, watching what he did on the high school and college level. We're going to hit one more NFL story because I refuse to talk about the Raiders, who are going to go with a rookie quarterback.
Come on,
I'm officially
man. Come
done.
On.
I'm officially
come
done
on.
With the Raiders,
come,
man.
Come on, man.
Hey, wait a minute. It was last week. Let's go with the Raiders. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, man. All right.
Don't
we can
scared.
Talk about the
don't
Raiders.
And they said, don't be scared.
Okay. Everybody knows I like three teams. It's the Raiders, the Steelers, and the Giants. But I have to officially dump the Raiders because here we go again with another rookie quarterback. It's starting all over again. I got to watch them in preseason. They're the same team that I've seen since they left the Super Bowl where the center went off somewhere and they couldn't find him. And Gannon, they just ruined that game. And so I don't know what to say about the Raiders. I'm officially on this show September 2nd, officially giving up the Oakland Raiders. I wish the quarterback good luck. He's a freshman out of Fresno State, Carr. I wish him good luck, but I just don't see it. And I hope I'm wrong about this, but I'm officially, even before the season started, I'm officially giving up the Raiders. There you have it. I said it.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
you know what? Here's the deal, though. It's just my opinion. I honestly believe there's a better move for them. I honestly believe because Schaub was not performing. I think Schaub is shot. I think he's just goalie. It happened overnight, but I think he's shot. I honestly believe by accident that might work out for the Raiders better sake because at least Carr was playing well when he was in there. He gives you a possible chance, and if he can do something, the team can actually grow around him. Because I thought in the preseason, Raiders made a big mistake bringing in a lot of old players and giving them a lot of money. I'm sorry. It's time for them to really just scrap, clean out, start fresh, bring some young heads in, grow and develop. It's going to take a while. Because you're not going to beat Denver in that defense. You're not. I mean, it's just that. I mean, you can bring it out. I love some of the players they brought in. But they're not there, so spend all that money on them. It's just the same old Raider tactic. So I think Carr might give them a chance. I would not be surprised if he gives them a chance. Not that they're going to the Super Bowl, but I think his play might allow them to be decent.
I don't know, man. I think I saw those old guys on that front line, the defense, and I'm like, they won't make it past 6 to 8 games. I give them 6 to 8 games before they're sitting on the sideline watching the game being played by younger guys. I just don't see it. They gave me no evidence that they're going to be any good. They're not going to make the playoffs. I don't think they'll have a winning season. And it seems like they say, you know what, we're going to give this rookie quarterback time to grow, and maybe we'll just start over. And that's the way I got to see it with this older team. I remember them getting – they always get the old guy. And I saw them – I heard what you said the week before about them getting, you know, lassoing these old players and trying to get the last hurrah of them. I can't see it. I can't see Tuck. I can't see all these guys that they brought in. I can't see them turn around. I saw Woodson out there. I thought Ritson had retired.
I did too. Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
I did too. No, that's what goes
like,
down. Don't get
oh, no.
What do you know?
Yeah.
Bring Cam Bailey back.
Well, they'll go and get He's my boy. He's my boy, and he's on Channel 5. They'll go get Rodney Harrison. I wouldn't put it past him to bring Rodney Harrison. And that's my boy, Rodney Harrison.
He can still make a play.
Yeah, he can still make a play. But how many plays he going to make? He's my boy. And shout out to Rodney Harrison. We do a camp every year. He's my boy. But come on, how many plays can you make? And when it's gone, it's gone. And I just can't see the Raiders doing it anymore. I'm sorry. Last issue before we go to, I want to get you guys picked on this week. Last issue, the name change for the Deadskins. What's going on with this? Can they just change the name and just be done with this? What's going on with this, Icewater?
Well, you know, like you said, the whole thing is they're fighting it, but there's so many things that are coming up against them in regards to, like, the rights for, like, for the name and things like that, and also for the other rights that they're fighting against. So I think that sooner or later he's going to have to give up the ghost. I mean, maybe he doesn't, but I think there's going to be a lot of pressure for him to give up the ghost. If there is a name change, I have a name change for you. I know it's going to sound crazy, because I know being out on the East Coast, store is going to be like, man, are you crazy? Yeah, I'm crazy. So I'm going to say it real quick. They should call them the Washington Americans.
What?
I know that's crazy. Yeah. The Washington, hey, look, if you're going to get the Redskins, let's call them the Washington Americans. Real quick, before you jump in, Thor, this I didn't get a chance to say about Oakland. Oakland has a plan. Plan is, real quick, and I'm being very sarcastic, the plan is to lose as many games as possible so they can get the number one pick and select Jameis Winston. All right, Thor.
Wow. Washington America. Wow, I don't know if to salute that one or that ain't gonna fly too good. I think Daniel Snyder is that arrogant to where he's not gonna change. I think it's all ego about him now. I think it's all ego. There's no way you can't at some point recently he didn't really sit down and give us some thought, some possibilities. To be that arrogant, when you know there's a swell of saying the name should be changed, Congress starting to put a little pressure on them. I think they took the patent of the Redskins away, if I'm not mistaken, and you're still sitting there, I'm not changing. I just don't understand. I know he's a businessman, but at some point I think his ego, his arrogance is driving this, and you should just at least sit down and act like you may want to do something, but stand steadfast and just act like there's no reason to change. I don't understand. Even sometimes in business, you have to play the game. He's not willing to play that game. He's just, no, I'm not changing. I'm not. I kind of believe they're going to force his hand, but I wouldn't be surprised that name doesn't change if he's no longer the owner of that team.
I see where Icewater's going with the Washington Americans, because the baseball team is the Washington Nationals, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. So I see the National and Americans. Will they change it to that? I can't see them doing that. I think it has to be another mascot.
they want to be patriotic? Isn't that what it's all about? So let's call them the Americans. Anyway, I'm sorry.
the word Redskins is patriotic?
No, but I'm saying the way that he's talking about it, he acts like, the whole point of him is trying to act like he has the right, he does have the right to do what he wants to do, but I'm saying if they're going to change it, and you're going to do it from the standpoint of Americans will be patriotic. You go from one extreme to the next, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I can see that. But I see them coming up with another name, if they ever come up with another name. But what really kind of bugs me is that he doesn't realize how offensive this is to certain people. And just because you talk to a segment of people and it's not offensive to them, what about the other folks who are like, yes, this is very offensive to me and that you should change the name? And in this politically correct society, you're going to have to do something, because it's going to affect your bottom line. Somewhere along the line, it's going to affect the bottom line, where people, you know, start to see the light and go, you know what, I don't want to support this anymore. Let's take a break, and I sent you guys the games for this week. We'll take a break, and we will get your picks. Be right back.
lyrics. The beat is lifting your spirit when you ain't feeling good. Sometimes it feel like the whole world is turning on him, and people miserable and try to place their burdens on him. He revealing the truth like he a portal. The vampire sucks blood, now he immortal. First he ignored, then he worked the applause. He thirsty for more, cause they love it, now he perfectly flawed. Most of these rappers softer than velour, juicy couture. From the start he put his heart in every verse he before. Cursed to perform for the corporation. He made a profit with Satan, the guy with the beat conducted for his liberation. And for free at last, till everybody started selling it but him. He's like, I need to see a piece of that and get right with God. He know this gift is a phenomenon. He catch it with a strike like a lightning rod. His rhymes are the spitting image he created us in. We getting paid and wages to send. Truth, it's like death in the room. Every lie we ingest and consume is guaranteed to make us vegetable soon. Sometimes it's so hard, he can't go on. Where did he lose focus? Where did he go wrong? He should love his life. He got a loving wife at home, but still.
You are in tune to the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Goon Squad Sports, or on Facebook, the Goon Squad Sports Radio Show page. I am Puma. We got Black Thor and Ice Water on the line. We're going to talk about this week's games in the NFL, and I already got my picks all set and ready. You might be surprised on some of the picks, and no, I did not pick Oakland to beat the Jets. I'm through with Oakland.
I'm done, man.
I saw that this morning, man, and it was like, man, it's going to be one of those days.
Wow.
You know, this is how you kept the Cowboys. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know you kept the Cowboys, but I'm knowing enough's enough. You want me to give you my picks first, and then you guys chat me with your picks?
Sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, I'm picking an upset. Green Bay over Seattle. In Seattle. So they might have a ring ceremony, but Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, and the boys will upset Seattle. I'm going to go with Chicago over Buffalo at home. Don't believe Buffalo has what it takes to beat Chicago at home. Of course, I'm going with the Ravens in Cincinnati. I don't believe in Cincinnati. Of course, Pittsburgh will chase Manziel because they think Manziel is going to start. You will chase Manziel all over the field and drag him down and may even hurt him in the first game. I know, Ice Water, you said don't put him out there. I think they're going to put him out there. I really think they're going to put him out there on some packages or something. I really do. The Texans over the Redskins. Got Philly over Jacksonville. I have Kansas City over Tennessee. I'm going to go, even though New England gave up one of their offensive linemen, Tom Brady's boy, I'm going to go, still go with New England. They'll find a way to win. I'm going to go with the Vikings over the St. Louis Rams at St. Louis. I am another shocker, folks, I think. I'm going with Atlanta at home over New Orleans. The Jets over Oakland. Tampa Bay over Carolina. Carolina did not impress me with their receiving corps. I'm going to go San Francisco over Dallas because I just hate Dallas. And Denver over Indiana. New York over Detroit. Detroit's at home. And I'm going to go with Arizona at home against San Diego. Not very shocking, was it?
A little bit.
A couple of those, man. I think you need to put the bottle down before you say something. Put the bottle down first.
Which one?
Put it down first. You know, let the bottle out of your hand. Then make your pitch. I'll go third. I swear you're third, Chief.
All right, you want me to go first? All right, let me just say this. First, I'll say you took my thunder, Puma, because I'm choosing Green Bay over Seattle as well to destroy to bring someone. The reason why I'm saying that is because I thought about it once, I thought about it twice, and then I was like, I think that Green Bay still remembers that crap with the referee, the scab referees, when a game was taken from them versus Seattle. and they knew that they had that game won. And I think they're coming with revenge. And while Seattle still has a great defense, I am a little concerned about losing Golden Tate. And I know they have some other weapons, but I want to see if the defensive losses that Seattle had, can they hang with Green Bay? And I think Aaron Rodgers has a lot to prove, so I'm with you on that one. Buffalo and Chicago, you know I'm going to do this just because, as I told you before, I'm choosing Chicago because of the fact that with all of the weapons, including now with Santonio Holmes as a third or fourth receiver, there's no way they should not be able to outscore Buffalo. Buffalo does have still a little defense, and I still think the rookies are kind of banged up. Watkins is banged up, and then the other wide receivers banged up too, so give Chicago the nod there. Cincinnati and Baltimore, I'm kind of torn on this, but I'm going to go with the Bengals. I'm going to shock you with this one. And the reason why is because it has nothing to do with Ohio, believe me. It has nothing to do with Ohio. But the standpoint is the Bengals, because of the fact that the Bengals kind of showed last year that they can play with Baltimore, they can play with Pittsburgh. And I think without Ray Rice, and if the offense is not rolling for Baltimore, then I think the Bengals can hang with them. And I think even though it's in Baltimore, I think the Bengals have a shot. So I think the Bengals will win that. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, I think you will see Manziel a little bit, but I hope not for long. Not until the fifth week, like I told you before. So Pittsburgh, easy. Washington and the Texans. I want to go with the Texans because of their defense. I think once the RG3 gets settled a little bit, Washington might be a little bit more, a little tougher to handle. But right now, the Texans defense is going to kind of pull them over the top. Jacksonville, Philadelphia, easy one. Philadelphia should win that because they have the running back and the receivers. And a little defense, that's all you need against Jacksonville. Tennessee, Kansas City, KC, because I think they have, with a new coach in Tennessee, they need a little time to get acclimated. New England and Miami, even if they lost four offensive linemen, with Tom Brady back here, they still would beat Miami. I'm just telling you. Minnesota and St. Louis, wow. I'm going to go with Minnesota. I think if St. Louis had their quarterback, they might be a little bit able to hang a little bit more because they have a solid defense. So Minnesota, New Orleans, and Atlanta. I know you chose Atlanta. Woo, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Atlanta, too. And I say that because Julio Jones, if you watch Hard Knocks or whatever, he is so hungry from being hurt. He's so hungry to get back on the field. And I think that when Matt Ryan has those weapons available, they're very difficult to beat. So the question is, in the track meet, who's going to win the track meet? And then at home, New Orleans kind of seemed a little vulnerable early on. I think they'll be solid down the line, maybe 12-4 overall, but I'm going to go with Atlanta. Oakland and the Jets, I don't think I have to say nothing there. You already know. You quit on them, so
yeah.
I'm going to say J-E-T-E-S, J-E.
They quit on me first.
Right. So Jets. All
right.
Carolina, Tampa Bay, just because, as you said, no receivers in Carolina. San Francisco and Dallas, really tough here.
Oh.
Trying to figure it out. No, I'm not even – I'm being real with it. It's not really tough. I'm going with San Francisco. There's no way –
You're going with San Francisco?
Yes, that's
oh.
What I'm saying. I'm not a homer.
You're just doing that on the show.
No, I'm not. You got to realize. This is the reality. San Francisco over Dallas because Tony Romo's gonna throw enough picks when it counts for San Francisco. Clearly, okay. I'm not a homer. I might like them, but I'm not gonna be like, oh well, that's my team, so it's got to be Dallas. No, wrong answer. Anyway, Indianapolis, and Denver, Peyton Manning, too much, a little bit more. If it was in Indianapolis, I'm going with Denver.
You're going with Denver?
No, I'm with Jets. The Giants in Detroit, you chose the Giants.
Yep.
I'm not sure. I don't think Eli and those guys have figured it out yet. So I'm going to pick Detroit.
Okay.
I'm going to Detroit. And I think I'm going to put a little pressure on the Giants. And finally, I'm going with San Diego over Arizona.
Okay.
because I think that Phillip Rivers has working on a pretty good solid offense over there, and their defense is showing to put a little pressure. And I think they're going to put enough pressure on good old Boomer that it's going to be a wrap. And I think they're going to triple cover Larry Fitzgerald, and that's going to be a wrap.
You know, I would agree with that statement with San Diego, but when they have the Danian Thomason and all those guys, if Phillip Rivers couldn't do anything with them, he is not going to do anything with this team.
Right. Well, let me just say real quick, Dora, please jump in here. I didn't say win the Super Bowl. We just talking about week one.
Okay. I do not trust them after those two seasons with which I thought that was wrong for firing Schottenheimer. You know, you go 14-2. I mean, you fire your coach. You know, you deserve everything you get after that. And so with those high, powerful offenses, and this is nowhere near that offense they had, you know, back then, I can't see Phillip Rivers doing anything. All right, that's my little soapbox moment. Black Thor?
Yeah. You know, I listen closely, but I'm going to tell you, Seattle in the preseason, I know they say it's preseason, sometimes it doesn't count for much, but if you open up that offense a little bit in the preseason, and that offense is starting to cook a little bit, it's not high energy or high potent, but I think they're going to have enough to take care of Green Bay. I think Green Bay will make it interesting, but I'm going to take Seattle. Buffalo, Chicago. Yeah, Chicago can't lose this game. I'm sorry. You're at home. You cannot lose this game to Buffalo. So I'm going to go with Chicago. I think they're going to pull it out. I think Buffalo's defense will keep it close probably to halftime, and at that point, Chicago may do away with it. Cincinnati and Baltimore, I'm going to take Cincinnati. I think when Ray and some of those other fellows left, I think they took a lot from Baltimore. I don't think they recover yet. I really don't think that team has found its groove, and it's going to find its groove this year. And I think Cincinnati should be able to go in and take one away from them. I think Cincinnati's offense is very strong. Their defense comes to play. It might be closer than I'm thinking it's going to be, but I think Cincinnati's probably going by a touchdown or more. But even in Pittsburgh, that's going to probably be a field goal fiasco game right there. I don't think too many points are going to be scored, because Cleveland has a pretty good defense, but I do think Pitt will take this. Washington and
I think Pitt
will take that. Pittsburgh's going to take that game. Yeah, Pittsburgh's going to find a
way. I already put you down for Pitt. I was getting ready to say, you think
Cleveland? Yeah. No, not Cleveland. No. Cleveland, I don't see Cleveland winning much this year. I think they'll keep it. I think it's going to be a bunch of field goals kick, but I think Pitt's going to take that one in the long run. Washington and Tennessee, that's an interesting game there, because I'm thinking the Redskins are Washington. Let me take away the Redskins. I think Washington should basically do away with this game. But this game has the makings of RG going down there and kind of trying to do too much to stinking up the field. But I'm going to still go with Washington and take this one away.
You think Washington will beat Texas?
Yeah, I think they'll take it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to – you know, it's interesting. I heard something earlier in the radio today I was talking about. Well, actually, it was yesterday. People assume this coach with anybody that comes from Belichick is going to be, stand out. And to me, he's going to have to prove it. I'm not throwing this guy as being the head coach yet. I'm not. I didn't like the fact they went and grabbed him from Penn State anyway when there's other people that you could have gotten in the NFL and to be your head coach. To go grab him, I'm not that sure. If you think about it, anybody come from the Belichick tree as a coach has done anything on an NFL franchise, to my knowledge. So I'm going to Redskins there. Jacksonville, Philly, not even close. Philly's going to pull that one away. Tennessee and Kansas City, I'm going to take Kansas City. I think I'm hoping Kansas City opened their offense a little bit more. The defense was strong for a period of time last year. They're really going to need to open that offense if they're going to contend with the Broncos and the Chargers. So they're going to have to open up a little bit. Hopefully this will be the game that starts the season when they do so. I'm going to go with Kansas City. New England, Miami, as always, this game will go down to the last 5 minutes and Brady will pull it out. New England will take that. Minnesota at St. Louis. Ooh, Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota. I think St. Louis is in for a rough season. If this was 10 years ago and basically everybody was founded and grounding, I think St. Louis can hang, but I think Minnesota has a lot of firepower, and I don't think it's going to be pretty. New Orleans and Atlanta. I look at this, and I keep looking, And the thing that gets me about New Orleans, they're good, but you take Drew Brees and you bring him on the road, he doesn't play the same. He's just not the same quarterback when he leaves New Orleans. But for that reason, I think Atlanta's healthy. If this was midseason, I might would favor New Orleans, but the first game of the season, Atlanta's going to they're going to show out. So I'll take the ACL on that one. Oakland and the Jets, why even pick that one? What? You know, really, is that really a game worth picking? I mean, wow. Oh, yeah, close game, just to take it. I'm gonna take Tampa Bay. Carolina going to Tampa. I'm going to take Tampa Bay in that game. I think Tampa Bay is going to come out and show that Lovie's got them playing a little different this year. I'm going to take Tampa Bay to really handle that game. Carolina, I just don't understand it. But you got a nice quarterback, but you give nobody to throw the ball to. So that's those two running backs that's there, they've locked in the money years ago, and they have yet to earn those paychecks. San Francisco and the Cowboys. Wow. Hopefully Sam playing this game. That would be nice. I won't be surprised if Jerry Jones finds a way to get him to play this game, at least in the third or fourth quarter. San Fran, even though they got a lot going on, there's a lot happening, I think that defense is going to be enough to kind of keep the game and put the game in San Fran's back pocket. I'm going to take San Fran. Indy at Denver. Yeah, Denver's going to come out. That's a Sunday night game. Yeah, Peyton Manning, they're going to try to prove something too, because they still got that taste of that Super Bowl in their mouth. So they're going to come out and really kind of take it to Indy, and I think Denver will take that one. I'm not even sure what Giants team is going to show up for Detroit. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I just don't think. I think our defense is better than last year, but our offense, man, I can't even imagine. We scored 10 points in this game. It's not going to be enough. Detroit, San Diego, Arizona. I'm going to Arizona. I think a lot of people are kind of sleeping on Arizona. They have a good defense. I got a funny feel calling us. Carson Palmer is going to play better. Even though he had good numbers last year, I think he's going to play better this year. And I think Arizona's going to be in the thick of things.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. You have my picks. And what we'll do is we'll post the we'll keep it like on Fox TV. We'll keep the records.
Okay.
Of who won and who doesn't. And I don't know. You'll get a hot bowl of nothing at the end of the season, but
I want to use Raiders jersey.
We have the pride of winning the Goon Squad NFL Challenge or whatever.
I like that. I like that.
A bowl of nothing. Okay. Let's switch over to basketball. USA team. Now, I have to admit, I was trying to watch the WNBA playoffs, and I got away from the USA team and the World Cup. But give me your summary of the U.S. team, Icewater, what you're seeing, and are they in trouble?
I would say they're in trouble. I still think they have the most talent. They will run into a little rude awakening if they ever face Spain with the Gasol brothers. You know, I think they're very solid. They might be the best team out there. If Argentina makes it with the players that they have, and I think they can make some noise too. But I just think that the U.S. team is maybe kind of took things for granted. And when they struggled against Turkey, they kind of saw that they need to play basketball now. You know, I think they were like on autopilot. Coach K must have told them something in the second half. And with that being said, it's like, okay, guys, let's go to work. Because I still think overall, team-wise and talent-wise, the United States has the best team, the best talent in the tournament. But they have to play like it. You just can't take it like you're going to the Y and you can just throw stuff off the backboard and win. Because these guys that are playing there, some of them are professional, and Coach K's not going to let that happen. So I think they'll be all right. I think they got that crap out of their system. And the one thing Coach K does not want to be one of the coaches known for losing in the World Cup, because he's looking for bigger and better things in the Olympics. And to lose even with a new team and young team is almost unacceptable, because you're supposed to be the best at this sport.
Okay. Real quick question, side question. Do you think Coach K will ever coach in the NBA?
No, I don't see that. I don't see that. Because the NBA, just real quick, the NBA is so different. It's so difficult because you're able to develop and mold young men in college, and a lot of the older guys in the NBA are not will not take some of the tongue lashings and just some of the things that are go along with him being the coach. And I'm not sure Bielorica, because they make more money than he does, and it's hard. It's so hard to control sometimes NBA players, and sometimes as a coach, no matter what you do, you still can't control it because those guys are egos and whatnot.
Okay, Black Thor, what's your feelings about the U.S. team? Have you been following them, or?
I'll be honest, man. I have a follow-up, and this is going to sound mean to say, I hope at some point they get blown out. I want to see them get embarrassed. I really do. Yeah. This is my personal opinion, because you know how I feel about that whole scenario. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that, and it kind of, if they get embarrassed and get blown out, maybe it'll wake them up and realize we have to start playing better fundamental basketball, and that's my hope for it. So I'd rather watch the WNBA championship, be honest with you, because I don't want to watch him up against these other players. I just can't. I don't subscribe to that theory at all. I just can't do it.
You know,
I can't.
You know what? I try to watch the WNBA. I just can't do it. You guys know why. I'm not going to say it. I can't do it. I try. I can't do it. I try to be a basketball guy. I just can't do it. It's just, I don't know. I just can't look at it the same. I'd rather watch the Lingerie Football League. Now, that's some, yeah.
See, well, you know.
I can't wait for that to come back on TV. I'd watch that. And maybe the women in WNBA, no. If they were all lingerie, no. It wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work.
Well,
I can't stand it.
Yeah, I think you're looking at it all wrong. Don't get me wrong. I think the WNBA is, at times, it is tough to watch, I will admit. What gets me sometimes, they have these fast breaks, runaway fast breaks, and the ball just bangs off the rim. I'm like, come on, ladies, you got to do a little better than that. Just make a layup. I'm not asking you to jam. Just make a layup. But it can be a little tough to watch. And what kind of surprises me a little bit is that I remember watching when the league first started. I even went to a WNBA game. I went to one. And back then, the play was better. It just seemed like the level of play has went downhill. I mean, you have a few stars, a few good players, but the rest of them, man, it's like, it's the level of play is not there. To me, where it should be at this point for that league in general, it's not there.
Okay.
So it can be a little tough to watch, but I'm not gonna say I've had to watch the lingerie. Of course, that's an obvious thing, but sometimes I'll put on a WNBA game and I'll start cleaning up the room without having it on in the background.
Well, when they bring the Chicago lingerie team back, I'm getting season tickets. Ice Water, any thoughts about the WNBA?
Yeah, I'll just say this real quick that here in lovely Ohio, I remember as mentioned that Thor said, I remember when the WNBA first started, and there was a rival league called the ABL. And the ABL at the time had some really top teams and top players, and it was really great competition. And I think the fact that when that league went under, it really kind of watered down the talent-wise, the league talent-wise, because they were like, as you mentioned, one or two, three top players on the team. And then after that, the talent level just kind of went down because it was so saturated. But when you had the ABL, the teams were, when you saw championship teams, you saw Olympic players. It was really loaded. The teams were stacked and really made for good basketball. So these players had played on all levels. And now, as you said, you missed a layup, and it just doesn't look the way that you want it to be. And I think that the main reason why they're keeping it around is because the NBA wants to be politically correct. And also, when you think about it, when they hold it, it's the reason why they hold it in the summer is because there's nothing else going on. And if that arena was not open, it would be empty. And if the lights would be off, there would be no money coming in at all. So they might as well put something in there, and I believe that.
Okay. All right. So, yeah,
I'll probably try to watch the championship series. I know Chicago's in it, and against Indiana, Minnesota against Phoenix. So I'll try to hang in there. But man, okay. Before I say anything wrong, I'm just gonna go on to NCAA football. Let's give me the eye test, guys. I saw Florida State Saturday night, and they look awfully shaky. They look awfully shaky. Like I was telling you guys, every team is going to play them like it's the national championship every game, and I'm not sure if Florida State can really, really withstand the pressure they're going to get this year from teams who want to make a name off of Florida State. So you guys, let me go with Black Thor first. Give me the eye test of what you saw in college football this last Saturday.
Oh yeah, I think you have a good point about Florida State. I don't think before the season started, I was thinking yeah, but you're right. I think they're going to be the hunted this year. It's going to be a little tough. It's really going to be tough. And it seemed like to me the quarterback Jameis, his head is not where it needs to be. I don't know, maybe because he did so much in the off season with the baseball or whatever. But they don't look focused. That team didn't look – now, that I mean, you can work on that, but they didn't look focused. They didn't look like they really had a sincere focus in playing. So they need to grab that quickly because teams are definitely going to be gunning for them big time.
Yeah, the defense looked like they were missing a lot of plays that they usually made last year. The defense couldn't shut them down, and I couldn't understand it. But what about you, Ice Thor? What did you see?
Ice
Thor.
No problem. Ice Thor, that's a heck of a combination, 2-1. Anyway,
yeah.
But I think that they Florida Seminoles, as Thor mentioned, you know, we had this perception of who they should be, but they're not the same team. You know, I think Winston has developed some of his receivers. A lot of the guys in new places, and they're learning. And they're very talented still, but as you mentioned, they're going to get everybody's best shot. And they're going to have to prove that they're worthwhile. And there could be some slip-ups because I think it's very hard to repeat because they aren't hungry anymore. They were hungry before because they had a redshirt freshman quarterback. Florida State had not really been significant in quite some time. And now it's just you kind of like, you know, you're full and somebody offers you a donut. You're like, but man, I might take it, but I'm not pressed to get that donut. But if you're hungry, then you're like, man, you're going to give me that donut. You're going to do everything you can to get that donut. I know that's a very bizarre example in regards to food, but it's about, I think, about hunger. And then sometimes people, teams having stronger intestinal fortitude, wanting it more, will also maybe overtake a Florida State because they might get into a game where they might be matched talent-wise, and they make a few mistakes, and the team is able to defeat them. So that's what I kind of saw from them.
Okay. Yeah, they just look kind of weak on defense. I understand they're not the same team. Offense didn't look focused, like Black Thor said. Jameson didn't look the same. He kept getting passes blocked down or belted down. It just didn't look the same. They just couldn't – you were expecting them to turn it on at any time, and they just couldn't turn it on sometimes. And – if it wasn't for the other team's mistakes, they probably would have lost, I think, against Oklahoma State. But Oklahoma made a crucial mistake where the quarterback fumbled the ball after a great hit that just cut him for a flip. And that decided the game, in my opinion. Alabama struggled a little bit also this week. And people are suspect about them, too. They lost two starters last week, an offensive player and a defensive player. So, and then Louisville in their ACC opener beats the U of Miami. But Texas A&M, the big story is that they made a big leap, and they are now in the AP poll number 9. They're in the top 10, post Johnny Manziel. I know you hate hearing that, Thor. Post Johnny Manziel, and with a 52-28 victory over South Carolina. And so the Gamecocks dropped from number 9 to 21, and Texas A&M jumped all the way up to number 9. Is Texas A&M for real? What are people saying? Ice water?
I'll just say this, that, you know, first of all, they got to give a lot of credit to Coach Sumlin at Texas A&M. He has a way of making things work for quarterbacks. He has a way of putting them in good positions so they can make plays. I think their quarterback Hill was really comfortable. Things worked out for him, and I think a lot of the other guys who were coming back had something to prove that they just wasn't all about Johnny Manziel. So with that being said, I think that they showed you that if South Carolina was struggling offensively, that if they didn't come strong, they could get blown out, and they took them to the woodshed. So it's still early because it's the first week, but they stepped up to the mic and did what they had to do. I think in regards to Alabama, Alabama's struggling to find a quarterback. So they're in between two quarterbacks right now. So you can have all of the running backs you want to in the world and a great defense. You need a quarterback to run the show, and I think that's why they're struggling so far. But as we always say, we all know that Nick Saban is going to find a way for somebody to run this football team.
So this first four teams getting into the playoffs might not be an easy task. You see, LSU, one of the games that we highlighted a couple of weeks ago, they fall to Wisconsin, and so that may knock them out the running. But I always say that it's better to lose a game in the beginning of the season than late in the season. So it may not be that bad, but we'll see.
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
Can I jump in real quick?
Sure.
You must cut your TV off early since LSU came back and beat Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, man. I'm watching the WNBA.
I did. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I did. I cut it off after they were down like 28 or something. I'm like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
It's us.
Yeah.
And they're my pick.
I like Alabama, but I'm tired of them playing teams that they know they can beat, you know, outside of the division, man. At least I'll give LSU credit for that. They, you know, they schedule some games where it's going to be a little challenging. So I want to say Alabama. I know it may never happen. At least consider it, you know. But I think Texas A&M, yeah, like I sort of said, that coach finds a way to get those, the quarterback and the offense moving. And I wouldn't be surprised. They're close to, I'm not saying in it, but be close to it. It's all said and done. I'm hoping that a couple of those teams kind of crack in and get to the top four, so it'll just be a little different than it has been in the past several years. That for me would be very interesting.
Okay. So the top four, they currently are right now Florida State, Alabama, Oregon, and Oklahoma. And I'm not sure that these are going to be the top four that are going to finish the year based on what I've seen so far. So, especially what I've seen from Florida State and Alabama. Oregon, I didn't get a chance to see Oregon. I didn't get a chance to see Oklahoma. But I don't know if those teams can, out of the Pac-12 in Oregon, and is it the Big 12 Oklahoma's in? With Texas and all those other teams?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But they're ranked number four. Auburn is number five. Georgia is number six. They beat my Clemson, the ACC team out of Clemson. Michigan State is hanging in there at number seven. Ohio State's hanging in. They were number five, and now they're at number eight. Texas A&M jumps to number nine, and Baylor jumps to number 10. So we'll see. That's the AP poll. And so we'll see. Quick, ice water. Major League Baseball news, anything that's really standing out?
Well, there's nothing really major, but a lot of people probably laugh. But the Oakland A's actually traded for Adam Dunn, power that used to play for the Reds. And Chicago, one of Chicago's favorite sons. Anyway, he goes to Oakland, and it's one of his first at-bats. Hits a home run and wins the game for the A's. So he still might have something left. Don't tell that to King Griffey Jr., but it is what it is, so we'll see how that plays out.
Here's my thing about Chicago teams, especially the Cubs. I think the Cubs should be a minor league team because they have a knack, and it's surprising that the Sox are doing this too,
They give up real good players that go and win somewhere else. They get good players in their farm system. They're not winning. Those players get to superstar status or get enough attention for other teams to say, you know what, we want to trade and get this guy. And they get him, and these guys automatically, you got Dunn, who's with the Oakland A's, probably going to be in the playoffs for the first time and God knows how long. And it seems like the Cubs have two guys they brought up from the minors who hit home runs on their debut. I cannot see these guys staying more than 5 years before somebody picks them up. So I know Cub fans are listening. Turn into a minor league team because you seem to be helping other teams win, but you can't win with the players that you get. Pitchers, Greg Maddux just made it to the Hall of Fame, made it playing with the Atlanta Braves. You have Mark Grace who went to Arizona and won a world championship. Yeah, all these players that go somewhere else and win. Consider becoming a minor league team and just feeding the major league teams because obviously you guys don't want to win, so help everybody else win. I'm going to get off that rant. I should be getting bomb threats from the Cubs fans.
Wow.
Here's my question to both of you. And I'm going to go to Black Thor first. Why is Roy Jones still fighting?
Wow. I mean, I guess the obvious answer would be money, but I'm not sure. I it's hard for me to wrap my mind around with money. I'm not sure. You don't know what else to do with yourself. Other than that, you just have no idea what you should be doing with yourself at this stage in your life. He has to prepare for himself outside of boxing. I don't get it. I know it's hard to walk away from the fanfare, the adulation, all that coming at you. It's hard to leave that and let that go. But, come on, man. I mean, really? Seriously. Stop it. So I hope it's not the money. I hope Aiden ran through his money. I'm just hoping that he just needs to have his ego stroke and feel needed and feel loved, and that's what he's really pursuing.
Okay, I just wonder, why is he still fighting? Why is this guy still fighting?
When I was in Las Vegas with him, I wanted to ask him that question, but I didn't want him to hit me. So I said, I better not ask that question. Because I'm like, Roy, I mean, as has been mentioned before, I'm like, we hope it's not the money. Maybe it is a fanfare. Maybe the fact that he feels he can be a contender. But the whole point is everybody's fighting. These are guys at a lower level. And maybe it's the art of competition or whatever it is, and maybe it's relevant because people still want to see him. As Thor mentioned, I hope for his sake that he walks away at some point or they stop giving him fights, promoters. That's the one thing I will say about boxing, and not to belabor this too much, but I'm a little disappointed. Actually, I've been pissed over the years the way that they let these older fighters hang around. Like, for instance, when they tried to make a legitimate claim like for Ali facing Larry Holmes, when it was clear that was a travesty, man. And I mean, just some of these guys, even if they need the money, there's enough money out there that you can have them come out and do charity work or something and give them a check. But to see a guy get his brains beat out when you know he lost all his faculties, he does not belong in the ring, and to watch him punished, a legend at that, and Roy Jones is coming up on a legend and being Hall of Fame status, I think you should tell him, look, we're not going to do it. We'll find some way else to get you some money, but you know, we respect you too much to put you in that position anymore. Really sad.
Because Roy Jones is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And the article I read is that he's trying to get the Cruiserweight Championship. And he's been doing it very quietly because I didn't really know he was still fighting until a month ago because he's not, you know, really kind of, I don't know anybody announcing the fight or anything, but he's been fighting overseas. And he's talking about that he wants to, he's 45 years old. He has a record of 58-8 with 41 knockouts. He's been fighting overseas. He's going to fight this guy known as the Egyptian Hurricane.
next, who's a 30-year-old guy. And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I hope that it's not that he needs money, because if he does, I mean, what is HBO paying him? And is HBO really kind of sanctioning, like, Roy, you know, you're a color fight, you know, announcer. You know, you shouldn't be out here doing this. But after I saw him get whipped by a few guys in his last three fights, I'm like, Roy shouldn't fight anymore. And so maybe he's choosing his fights carefully. He wants to fight this champion, who I think is the cruiserweight champion, out of Poland, who's about 32 years old. But I don't know, Black Thor, you said something that really made me think. It's like maybe these fighters fight because they missed the cheers or people cheering them outside the ring. And maybe, you know, he's missing those cheers. Maybe he has the money, but – you know, when you don't fight anymore, when you're not in the limelight anymore, people are, you know, are like, Roy who, or don't recognize you. Maybe that keeps people in longer than they're supposed to. I would think that he would make more money, or he would do a greater service training somebody to fight.
Hello. Yeah.
Training somebody to fight, or building up a fight club, or even getting in promoting if he wanted to. As opposed to putting yourself at risk at 45, I'm around that age. I'm not going to get punched in the head. So I'm going to keep the sense I have. So what is it about this game? It has to be, if he doesn't need the money, what is it about stars who are walking around thinking, you know, I missed that adulation and I got to get back out there so people can chant my name and people, I can kind of relive some of the glory days. I really, you know, I hope it's not the money, but it's got to be something about, hey, I need to get this attention again. And for me, he kind of kept it quiet because I didn't know about the fight until I started reading articles about this fight he has coming up. But it's really kind of a sad commentary when these guys, with all the talk about concussions and head injuries, these guys are still going out there, gladiators, and it sounds like it's the only thing they know, and they continue to go back into it.
One quick question for you. Is it, as part of the issue, and I wonder if he would ever answer this, is it any a rivalry or a jealousy of the factor that Bernard Hopkins is going to be 50 years old and still fighting for a championship? Because, you know, they were rivals back in the day, and I wonder, I hope it's not that, but I'm like, him still watching Bernard Hopkins put work in and also challenge for titles, is that part of the issue as well?
It may be.
Maybe. It's sad. It's just sad. You really, I mean, I can understand if you've been doing something that so long in your life, especially from a child, and you get old, I'm sure it's got to be hard to leave the party, man. But you, at some point, you got to pick up and go home. You got to pick up and go home. And it's sad. At 45, even at 50, that you're crawling into the ring and you haven't established something outside of the ring that you can do with your life and your time. And it's sad. It's truly sad. And sometimes it may even end up in a situation where a concussion or a certain hit. And that's just, it's ugly. It's real ugly.
Yeah.
But I think it's deep to where they just haven't established anything outside. They don't know what to do. They really don't know what else to do. Yeah.
Cause there's nothing sadder to see Tommy Hearns now. That's a sad sight. You don't know what Tommy Hearns is saying.
Right.
Wow. And, well, I haven't seen him lately. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, Tommy Hearns is like, wow. You know, it's like, it's almost like an 80-year-old man talking. You can't understand what he's saying, and you knew it was because of boxing. It had nothing else but boxing. It took a lot of shots to the head. It might have been that Handler fight, that three-round fight, because that was a fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he took some big-time shots.
Yeah, that was a fight there.
Keep going on, moving up in weight, fighting bigger, stronger fighters, getting hit that many times in the head, and then the governing body turning your head and letting sanctioning fights they probably shouldn't sanction. Tommy's in bad shape, and that's why I always say that boxing really needs to be regulated. It really needs to be regulated to keep these guys. It was one of the saddest things, and I watched the documentary about Ali and Larry Holmes, and that was sad. Even Larry Holmes was sad about that. Larry Holmes was like, you know, this is a guy that is one of my favorite people, and they, you got to stop this fight. I'm fighting the guy, but you got to stop this. I can tell the damage I'm doing to this guy. You got to stop this fight.
Yeah, I was gladiator sport. I was down on Larry Holmes because he didn't have to take the fight. He knew what his
situation
was.
No, he didn't.
Unless Holly needed the money. Other than that, I was a little down on him on that. But that's me being over there.
Okay. Next I want to talk about is fight week. It's fight week, Icewater. I know you're excited. And so let's take a break, and then we come back and talk about Money May and Mayorga and all the fights on the card. We'll be back.
But they got no show, so I'ma grab the mic, flip for trip, believe the sun. Both shots the one that gives the draw fun. Mic check, I get paid to wreck the set. Get ready to check, cause I'm a threat to your fret. No host bar, incomplete move fakers. Activate the back of my control, I might take her. If she's a grab, I'ma just a then slide. If she try to rip, I got my Smith on my side. Word to God, here I come to make way. Rugged and raw, killing your set every day. Microphone check, 1, 2, here we go. And I'ma let you know, who got the flow. And my words like an automatic weapon. Sucker, keep stepping, cause I'ma let you know.
Excited about the fight with Mayweather and Mayorga. I have a prediction, and it's not the prediction you think. I've been thinking about this a long time, and I know Icewater, you're going to be shocked and you're going to laugh, just like I laughed at you with the Washington Americans. I think, here's what I think is going to happen in this fight against Money May and Mayorga. I think there's going to be an upset. There's going to be an upset. There's going to be a rematch. Floyd fights him again, wins, and retires as champion. Here's why I think this, because I know both of you are stunned. Here's why I think this. I think he will make more money if he loses this fight and comes back and wins the next fight than he would if he beats Mayorga and then fight anybody else. There would be much more interest in seeing a third fight with this guy. Done. Icewater, did you faint? Where you at?
Yeah,
you all right?
Yeah, I did. So you might have to jump in there. I think I'm going to need a few moments. So Thor, you go ahead and see. I'm gonna need a few moments to take this in. Yeah, go ahead, please.
It's like I said, blasphemy. Blasphemy. Okay, Black Thor, what do you think?
You know what? I was trying to, kind of digest what you were saying, and realistically, I don't put it past them. I don't. I mean, I know it sounds kind of, a little outlandish, but boxing needs some outlandish stuff to kind of draw some interest and draw some, you know, some attention. So, I mean, when you really kind of put it down on paper and kind of, you know, maybe move some things around, I can see it. I can see it. I mean, I wouldn't say it would happen, but I can see it because it's even not even the more money for it. I think for him to lose, I think throws a whole new spin into boxing, and it just brings up attention. It pulls attention up from the ground. So from that point alone, I mean, PR standpoint, yeah, I think it's possible. I think it's very possible. I think it's possible. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Think about it. Would you pay, like, Mayweather wins this fight, would you pay more if Mayweather lost and then he fights this guy again as opposed to somebody who he hadn't beaten, they hadn't fought before, thinking that, okay, Mayweather's going to get his 50th and that's going to be it? Would you pay more to see a guy that beat Mayweather fight again for Mayweather to come back and get his revenge and win the fight as opposed to this guy, some other guy fighting him? All right, Icewater.
Okay, if I must, Burrow speaking. Let me just say this. First of all, I can see your point. I respect your point. But the one thing about Floyd Mayweather that people should understand by now, he's a real, very proud individual. And I can see the point from the standpoint of him losing, or it might make him for a better show, if you will, more interest for people for boxing. But the first, if you remember, the first people thought Madonna might have won the first fight. They questioned, you know, that he was giving Floyd all he could handle. He gave Floyd supposedly the toughest fight ever. So with all that already being on the line, I think Floyd wants to show people that, you know, and I think the other part of it, too, is he still thinks he wants to be known as one of the greatest of all time. In some circles, he wants to be known, wants people to say he is the greatest of all time. And for him to lose and not hit that 50 mark and break the Rocky Marciano record would be a total failure for him. And granted, it might be more money, it might be more exciting for boxing fans, but Floyd also knows there's going to be a major mark on his record if he loses. And he's a proud dude. I mean, he really is. He talks a lot of stuff, and he knows he has to back it up. That's one thing he talks about, you know, walking the walk, you know, talking the talking and walking the walk. But I will say this. I don't see an upset because I think he wants to show the world that y'all thought this guy was really good, but anytime I want to, even at this age, I can step up and defeat guys like a Madonna. And the guy's really more of just a thug looking for a punch to try to get lucky. And I will say this, too, that, and it may never happen, but I think there is one other fight that we already know. It's a pipe dream, but the fight that he really wants, and maybe he's surprised, maybe I'm living in a pipe dream right now, but we all know that Mayweather, in regards to having surprised and thinking, the fight is going to be this one. If he beats this guy, and then he might actually open his eyes and say, hey, let's fight Pacquiao now. And then if he does lose to Pacquiao or beats Pacquiao, then there's room for a rematch, so he can't get that 50 mark. And what better way than to set the world on fire if he's able to defeat Pacquiao twice to close out his career? Now, that's the fight. Now, I might be on some Oxycontin or Vicodin from about 6 months ago, but I'm just saying that the real fight that people want to see still, even though they're mad because it's taking so long, is Pacquiao. And I think somewhere or another, if he does defeat Madonna, they're going to try to find a way to get that done. I hope they do, because that, to me, would get boxing back up, because that's what people want to see. They've been waiting a long time. They finally get it, they will tune in dramatically, because everybody believes, a lot of people believe that Pacquiao can still beat Mayweather.
Now, I by no means am implying that Mayweather will take a dive. I know how prideful he is. I know what type of guy he presents himself to be as far as a fighter. No way. But I got a feeling that he might get beat or beaten up a little bit more than he thinks he might be in this fight. And it can, and you've seen crazier things, it can go this other guy's way. And I'm thinking that if it does happen, I think he is in store for a bigger payday than if he would if he just went on and fought the 50th one and retired. I do think the fight, if he's setting this up for Pacquiao, I think that will be great. But I'm thinking that the fight with Pacquiao would have been bigger if he didn't take a dirt nap against the guy that knocked him out a couple of years ago. They're getting ready to fight a fifth time. Am I right?
Well, actually, they're not going to fight just yet.
They're not going to fight?
They're not going to fight because that was the point. They might fight. They're talking about maybe them fighting next year, 2015. But that depends on if Pacquiao wins his next fight in November. I think it's Chris Algeria, something to that effect. The guy that upset a boxer recently and became the champion. So he's fighting that guy. But to your point, I mean, I just don't think Madonna has the skills to hang with Mayweather. And I think Mayweather wants to show that. Now, does he have a puncher's chance? Yeah, he has a strong puncher's chance. And if he hits Mayweather, there's a chance that he could knock him out. He has that chance. But I think that overall skill-wise, Mayweather has skill level to show that he can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and he's going to get his guy a lesson, and he's going to fool some people. But then again, like I said, anything can happen. But I've been riding that money train this long, brother. I got two guys.
I thought that you and I talked about this in earlier shows, that I thought that Mayweather kind of fought Margaret's game just to say, okay, I can beat you at your own game. Now I'm going to do what Sugar Ray did to Roberto Duran in the second fight, just outclass him and just. And part of me wants to believe that, but part of me thinks that this guy has a strong punch, and that if he catches Mayweather a couple of times, it could be night night. I saw what he did with Browner.
Yeah.
And before that fight, I mean, Ronda looked at him like, man, you're not supposed to be hitting me that hard in the fight when he was hitting him and knocking him against the ropes and all that other stuff. So they have similar styles, and I could see this guy kind of catching Roy when he couldn't catch him before. And if Roy can't withstand that punch, I could see him going down, maybe in the decision, maybe a technical knockout, something like that. And I could see them having a rematch, and this fight will be much more worth much more money than a Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, because here you got a guy who fought him and actually beat him, as opposed to, now if he wants to fight Pacquiao after this, if he wins the fight and fight Pacquiao after this, I think it will be a big money fight, no doubt about it. But I think it would have been more money if Pacquiao was still undefeated and he didn't lose to Tim Bradley, and if it was the Pacquiao of old, because I don't know who this Pacquiao is. But this new Pacquiao is not the vicious kind of warrior that we once knew when he was knocking guys out. This little guy just knocking guys out at will. I just don't see it.
Well, like you said,
you're quiet over there.
Yeah, and I'll say before Glycor jumps in, it's 46 guys have they been called and chosen, and nobody's beating yet. So. Go ahead, Thor. I'll sit back and listen.
No. I'm listening and learning at the same time, man. But for me, it got to come down to Pacquiao and Mayweather. I'm sorry. For years, that's what people wanted. I don't even think that fight has the luster that it had maybe 2 years ago or a year ago. I don't know if it's there, but I don't think they're the first person. I don't think they're ever going to fight. I think the money. And I'm not saying I don't think Pacquiao want him or he doesn't want Pacquiao. I think maybe the people in between, there's more money for them to make outside of fighting them two fighting each other, than the fight. I mean, because you fight Pacquiao and you lose. Okay, you come back, you fight Pacquiao, hypothetically, you come back, you fight him again, you lose. Where do you go after that? Where do you go? I mean, you're the money's no longer chasing you. You keep fighting, you keep Pacquiao at arm's length, You keep talking junk. He keeps talking junk. But at the same time, you just keep ringing the cash register. Cash register keeps ringing. And that's when I look at them, that's what I basically see. They're using each other to keep the cash register and keep their career just going. So I don't see where, I mean, to me, that fight should have happened 3 years ago. And they should have probably fought two or three times since then. Now
right.
they're older. Yeah, now they're older. I don't even see the need now to even do it. It's just keep it up. Keep, you know, you keep talking about him and he's talking about you. Keep the trains going on different tracks. And at the same time, keep the cash register ringing.
Well, like you say, though, I think for – I just say real quick, I think that for both of them, though, that if they do fight, the cash register will ring. And it'll be one of the large – still to this day, it will be one of the largest paydays because despite everybody being mad and ticked off about the fact that they haven't fought, people still want to see that fight. Even though they are shells of their former selves, people still want to see that fight just because they say, man, they finally got in here. And Floyd's a showman. Pacquiao likes money. And if they want to, they can make that money. They can make a lot of money because people, like Floyd says, you don't have to like me. All you got to do is watch.
Yeah,
and that's what he's really going after. He said, "Love me or hate me, just get that pay per view."
I remember watching Roy Jones, and he fought. I forget the name of the Puerto Rican fighter. His name is Tito. What was his name? He was a young fighter, and he got older. They both got older, but they didn't fight each other until they were both kind of just passed, way past their prime. Now, I remember ordering the fight on pay-per-view, and after the first three rounds, because it was a high-priced pay-per-view fight, after the first three rounds, I felt like I had been duped.
Right.
Because everybody had been talking about these guys fighting, it would be the fight of the century and all that stuff, and they got too old, and their skills were so diminished, it was like, man, it's like two old men fighting. So I kind of see that happening with Mayweather and Pacquiao, where they're way past their prime. Everybody's been talking about them fighting and fighting and fighting. They finally get to do it. It's almost like the Sugar Ray Leonard and Duran. They fought a third fight. Nobody talks about that fight. They're way past
right.
their prime. Nobody really cared about that. I didn't even remember the fight until I saw it on a documentary with Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm like, oh, yeah, they did fight a third time. But they were so past their prime that it was like, who wants to see them fight anymore? I mean, so I kind of see Mayweather and Pacquiao doing that as opposed to, you know, fighting right now where they're really kind of at the end of their peaks. I don't see it happening.
Right.
As long as Aaron is involved, I don't really see it happening. So that's why I'm thinking that maybe Floyd is looking ahead. This guy catches him, and then he falls, just like we thought that when Leon Spinks fought Muhammad Ali the first time. No way this toothless guy, going to beat Ali. He lucks up and wins. Ali chases him for a rematch, and Ali wins the championship again. And it made for a better fight. He probably earned more money on that fight. So I'm thinking that this may happen again. This may happen again. And folks are paying to see Mayweather get beat again if this guy beats him.
That's true. Puma, I just say this to you, that I don't know how it's going to work, but I think, like I said, the pride of Mayweather is all about his undefeated record, and that's what he really loves. And to him, take a loss would really be devastating because he knows he's not that special guy anymore. But I also just going to tell you that there might be some old men, but people going to still watch this fight. I believe they would with Pacquiao. But I tell you this, and you're going to watch it too, so you might as well get your $5 out and go to a fight. We're going to get you some
$5.
Whatever. I mean, you know how it is. Whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah,
you're going to make $5, and somebody's out. You're going to watch it. You go. I don't care where it is. You're going to watch it. So you might get your $5, $10 ready and get ready if they have a fight. Even if it is.
All right. Icewater, what can you tell me about Bronner and Taylor, the other fight on this card? Adrian Bronner and Emmanuel Taylor. I don't know too much about Taylor. What's up with Taylor?
Well, what's going on is they got it where the Mayweather fight is next week. And the Bronner's the headliner this week. It's in Cincinnati. He's going to – the Taylor guy is, I think, just another way for Bronner to pad his record. because I think what they really want to do, they really are trying to set this up where Broner will fight Luis Matisse. Matisse is also on the card in Cincinnati this weekend. So he'll be fighting
Jorge Berto,
else.
Yeah.
And, right, right. And then also Berto will be fighting. So they're really trying to set it up where Broner will fight Matisse if they both win, and they're trying to set it out for a championship fight or somewhere down the line where it could be more of a money fight that people want to see. Similar to, as you said, if we're waiting on Mayweather and Pacquiao. But I think, in my opinion, all of these fights for these guys, for Matisse and also for Broner, are setting up, not say gimmies, but they're not as strong an opponent as we normally would like to see. And I think they're kind of tuning up fights for these guys to get ready to face one another in the future.
Okay. Anything, Black Thor? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with those two, so I couldn't even really give an honest opinion. So I'll take a pass on that.
Okay. Because they're fighting on Showtime on September 6th, I believe.
Yeah. Well, yes. Well, actually, what is that? The Mayweather was 13th and Broner's at the 6th, right? Broner's on the 6th. Correct.
Okay. All right, yeah, okay, that's all. And so you got, you have Emmanuel Taylor, you have Mendes against Roberto Ortiz, you have Andre Berto against Steve Upshur Chambers. What do you know about Steve Upshur Chambers against Andre Berto?
Well, for Berto, it's kind of a comeback. I mean, the Upchurch is a pretty decent fighter. But the problem with Berto is the last couple times we've seen Berto, he's tried to come back and fight strong, but we don't know if it's the fact that he has the will to fight, but I'm not really sure if he still has the talent. And he may have lost some things, maybe because he's taking too many punches. Because the last couple of fights, he's lost maybe, his last two or three, last three fights? And it's really sad because he's a great competitor, solid guy. But his time might be up. So this will be an opportunity for us to show for him to show us whether or not he still has it. And we'll have to watch him closely because you see where a guy get hit, and then he starts to look a lot slower like an older fighter, let you know that his faculties are not still with him. Very similar to what we saw with Austin Trout fought on ESPN last couple of weeks, and he got caught again. And he just looked like, this is going to be a tough one. So you have to be very careful because when the guys get what we call punch drunk, it can happen in any round, and they just are never the same fighter. And that means that they can get hurt very, very – it can be a very devastating hit, and they can get hurt, and it can really be the end of their career, but also the end of the person as we know them because they're taking so many punches.
Okay, and you don't think that can happen to Floyd Mayweather?
I mean, it can, but like I said, his record is what it is. It hasn't happened yet. That's like one of those things. It's a good stock. You ride the stock till it – Black Thor, you can talk about this. You ride the stock till it goes down. Then you jump off the stock, right, Black Thor?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Until I get
–
until he can't make any more money. And that's what I'm thinking, and that's why I gave that analogy earlier, because of I don't think the powers that be want them to the fight. Because once they collide, what's left? What's left? I mean, if you lose two times to – I mean, if Pacquiao lose two times to Mayweather, where's Pacquiao going? We
back
know.
To the Senate? To the Senate?
Yeah.
Basketball team?
Yeah.
And Mayweather retires, becomes a promoter.
I'm
not sure.
Yeah, I think it's tough. I think that's why I just don't think you ever see those two really collide because they're making more. I mean, I'm not saying they're making the same amount, but you can just keep going and chugging with the idea, like, you know, yeah, hey, I'll fight, and just keep it moving. Keep the train moving. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. Yeah, it's going to be over soon, so we'll find out. Because Mayweather's about, I think he's about done by about three more fights, and I think that's a wrap for him anyways. We'll see what they decide to do.
You think Mayweather has three more fights in him?
Well, I mean, he wants that 50 mark. If he said he'll be what, four, will it be 48? He wants to hit 50. I think that's what he signed for. Maybe only a couple more with Showtime, and he wants to break that record. That will be 50-0.
I don't know. I'm having different thoughts about this fight. I hope I'm wrong because, you know, Mayweather's not my fighter that I like all time. You know, I have a few others, you know, that are old-time, old-school fighters. But I kind of see that in order to make money, if it doesn't go Mayweather's way for a while and he gets caught and he loses, that 50 goes out the window. But he'll stand to make more money. I think he'll stand to make more money. And I don't think he'll be that sad just having one blemish on his record. I mean, all the great fighters do. Some of them have one blemish on their record. I understand going for Rocky Marciano's record. But Rocky Marciano wasn't making the bank that these guys are making. And I think if this guy goes in and they have a rematch, they stand to make more money. Now it's equal footing because he's the champion now, and now Floyd has to kind of step up and make this fight even bigger and better and sell more tickets. So I kind of see that happen. A thought came to me in the last couple of weeks that maybe with all the pressure Floyd's been going under, with all the distractions, with 50 Cent and all that other stuff, you know, and you know he's going to be asked that all week long, all next week. And so how's he going to withstand all that pressure? And he has done it in the past. But, you know, after a while, it gets a little tiring. So we'll see. And
like you said, the best thing about that is we can agree on this lovely show, we can agree to disagree.
Yeah. And I hope I'm wrong. I'm not right all the time, and I can accept that. So do you think Adrian Broner is the next Floyd Mayweather?
Heck no.
Just because he lost? Just because he had that bad luck?
All right.
Come on. Have you ever seen Adrian Broner?
No, I guess I have.
Okay. All right.
No. And I just say real quick, just because of the fact of that Madonna, he dominated Broner and destroyed Broner, and Broner was undefeated. So a lot of people think that Madonna could do the same thing to Floyd. But Floyd showed after the fourth round in the first fight that he wasn't Broner, and he's better than Broner, and Broner is trying to be him. So and I think that's what he's going to have to upper hand too, but we'll see. I mean, we'll see. But I think Broner has a long way to go. And he needs to keep working on his craft and quit talking so much stuff and learn how to become a real all-around fighter before he starts talking about being as good as Mayweather is.
Okay, because I thought they moved him up too quick, but that's just me. All right.
No,
we got about 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. That's why he moved back down. You're absolutely right.
Okay. We got about 5 minutes left to go in the show. I don't know what black boy they're wrestling with.
You
took us some rings or something. I don't know what you're doing all over the whole show.
You think the plate over there? Labor Day's over, man.
Like you got the grill out and everything, man. Monkey
sound, brother. Monkey sound.
It sounded like
he
got foil over there.
He was
making a play.
Yeah, I thought he was wrestling with the coals and, you know, just frying up that grill. Any parting shots before we end the show, fellas? We got about 5 minutes left. Any parting shots?
I'm glad we're at the beginning of the football season. I'm serious, man. This time of the year, for me, of course, exciting, but it puts an end to listening to talk that I really don't listen on other talk radio and hearing about stuff I'm really not interested in. So football season kicks off, and basketball is not too far to follow. So this right here for me is it. This is really the time. You really kind of lock back in and really start paying attention.
Yeah, it's the most beautiful time of the year, is that what I said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ice water, any parting shots?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I feel the same way. Only thing I'm not really fond of is the cold, brother. We know there's about to get chilly. If we can keep it warm and keep these sports rolling, I'll be so happy. But that's not going to be the case. I'm going to have to give me a couple blankets or a couple anyway. Yeah. So we keep some other things going to keep me warm. So I'm going to leave it at that.
As we say in Chicago, yeah. It's officially big girl season. So
no comment. No comment.
Oh, man.
No comment. All I'm going to say is, you know what? You know, there'll be a few more buffet visits coming up in the next couple months. You hungry, girl?
So get your blanket. Yeah, get your blankets out. A big pot of chili. It's big girl season. Football season has arrived.
Yeah.
Hey,
big girls need love too. All right, baby.
Yeah, big girl need love too. That's right. All right.
Nah, I can't wait on me and Apple.
I know, man. I know.
I can't believe I'm hearing it.
Hey, I'm trying to be politically correct. I sure am.
Yeah, we're being politically correct. Not for everybody, but, you know, those brothers who indulge, you know, I salute you. All right, that's going to do it for this edition. What's up?
No, I was gonna
that's
going
to do it. Go ahead.
We checked away from that WNBA, so we had to say something else. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this edition. The Goon Squad Sports Radio Show. We will be back next week with more talk about sports. You guys take care.
Bucka. Ha-ha. You know the deal. This is me, dope. Beast by Supremo for all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the forthcoming live future shot. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven firmaments of heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep in orbit with the probable tenth. The universe expands length, the body of my text possess extra strength, power lifted powerless, up out of this towering inferno, my ink so hot it burned through the journal, I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway and Myrtle, hip-hop passed all your tall social hurdles like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex, working class poor better keep your alarm set, streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring, say it back in with your sleep, it's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip back, you dead now, killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow, the numbers game but shit don't add up somehow, like I got 16 to 32 bars to rock it, but only 15% of profits, ever seen my pockets like $69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black, that's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap, 16 ounces to a 20 more to a key, a 5 minute sitting steering and you no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right, you are not alone. Rock your hard hat black as you in the terror zone. Full of hard niggas, large niggas, dice tumblers, young teens in prison greens facing life numbers. Crack mothers, crack babies, and AIDS patients. Young blood can't spell but they can rock you a PlayStation. This new map is with a motherfucker's ass. You wanna know how to rhyme, you better learn how to add. It's
mighty most desperate.
It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I'm a bob around science.
What are we talking about here?
Mighty most desperate.